This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, welcome back to Beyond the Bases. Good to be back with you. I'm Kyle Seeloff, and we've got episode 2 of the offseason for you today. And an exciting episode with two prospects, one checking in at number 2 on the Marlins' top 30 list, the other at number 29. Marlins outfielder J.J. Blade and catcher Will Banfield join us today to recap really what's been an unprecedented 2020 season that saw both of these guys, and along with, boy, thousands of others, unable to play baseball games. But they were members of the Marlins alternate training site. And as you'll hear in just a few minutes, both of them made the most of their opportunities. And I'll tell you what, both of these guys feel like they've grown a lot from their experiences. And there was a lot to take away from an abbreviated baseball season this year. It's good to be back with you. We, as always, hope all of you are doing well. Of course, you're staying safe. We are with you every other Thursday during the off season, so make sure you stay in touch. Marlins.com/podcasts. Tweet us at Marlins Radio. Hey, we're always ready to chat baseball, and I can assure you 2021 will be here before we know it. So let's get right into today's episode. Again, had a lot of fun chatting with these two guys. We'll start with 20-year-old, soon to be 21-year-old, Marlins catching prospect. Here's Will Banfield.
Well, Will, 2020 has obviously been a wild and crazy year. It's good to see you, man, and I'm glad you're healthy. And can we just go back to last March? This has been unprecedented. What has this year been like for you personally?
It's wild, like it is for everybody else. It was crazy to start spring training and then kind of like everybody get the call to go back home and then take those 4 or 5 months off or however long it was. But, I was blessed and had the opportunity to go for the alternate training site for 60 man. And I was really excited for that. I had been working out those months that we had off because nobody really knew when we would get like a call back, I guess, to come back to start working again. So once I did get that call to come back down to Jupiter to start working out and playing again, obviously I was really excited. I was ready to get down there. I was ready to get back on the field. And it was kind of cool to be there with, older players and big leaguers and everything like that, just to be able to be down there and kind of see what their routine was and how they went about their business and kind of plan for more than, just like working out in spring training to get ready for a season. It was kind of working out and, we got 60 games and I was just happy to be there to do anything I could to help.
Before you get the call that you're going to the alternate training site, here you are with a couple of professional seasons under your belt. I would say really 2019, your biggest full season, 101 games in Clinton. What are the emotions like? I mean, you're doing everything you possibly can to get better. You're ready for a spring training. You're ready for a 6-month grind. What are the emotions like before you get the call that you are going to be at least a part of the alternate training site?
It was kind of tough, being at home because after coming off of, my first full season, I kind of had more of an idea of what I wanted to do and kind of have been working really hard in the off season with everybody else, like everybody does in the off season. So it's kind of tough, hearing that we weren't going to be able to play that season this year. And once I kind of like got my mind around it that, I still have to keep working, still have to keep working out, keep throwing, hitting and everything, because I don't know when I would be coming back down. That's kind of when I started to turn it back on, because it's kind of tough to push yourself when you're back home and, you got all these other X factors to do back home. And nobody knows when the season's going to start up. So that's really the time that you have to push yourself even harder to work out more and, keep yourself in shape. So I guess that kind of is what pushed me more, just knowing that I did have a chance to, get called back down soon. And even though it was, heartbreaking not having the season, it was cool to be able to know that I could be a part of something big.
When you say turning it back up to from a workout and getting ready perspective, we were told for 3 months, anybody going to that alternate training site, you better be ready. If you've never played in the big leagues before, if you're 18 years old, if you're 32 years old, if you're there and you get a call, you got to be ready to go compete in the big leagues. You were around big leaguers. What was that experience like? And what was the mentality like? Because again, one guy gets hurt, one guy gets injured, somebody gets sick. All of a sudden, Will Banfield might be getting a phone call. Now you didn't, but what's your mentality like?
It was kind of insane seeing, you know, how many people got called up, how many transactions there were and everything. And being there with, you know, the big leaguers and older players and everything like that, I was able to kind of see, like I said, like how they went about their day, what their routines were like. And I kind of, you know, paid attention to that and that aspect because, you know, I am probably the youngest, me and I think Jose Devers or I think it was us too. And, you know, it was kind of like we have never really been in like that sort of like situation before, just like everybody else too. But, you know, my mentality when I was there and was playing in games, I thought I could hang with them. In my head, I was like, I'm part of this team. I'm here right now and I'm going to show them what I got. I have nothing to lose because, you know, I am, you know, 10 years younger than some of these guys here. So it was kind of cool to be able to go out onto the field and in my head think like, I'm just going to ball out and do what I do and whatever happens, happens. And I'm going to take what I did and worked on in the off season and worked on at the beginning of spring training before we got sent home. And I'm going to show them what I have. So
when you get an opportunity to be around those guys, and I don't ask you this and asking you to be cocky and self-absorbed, but it's a pretty darn good measuring stick, man. Like you realize in a hurry, boy, these guys are good. Where am I in my development? Where do you feel like you're at after you get that experience and you're catching big league pitchers, you're taking BP, you're doing sim games? Where do you think you're at, Will?
No, thank you very much for that. And, you know, like I've been saying, just kind of like seeing, you know, the older guys and their routines and kind of like what they did to get themselves ready for, you know, each day, whether it be, you know, a workout day or a game day or anything like that. It kind of helped me and opened my mind up even more of how many more things I can do to make myself a better player and a better person really on and off the field. So game wise, I feel like I'm really at the top of where I can be right now. And obviously I can get better, but as of what we had to work with this year, I think I got the most out of it. And, you know, I had a great coaching staff and great people around me to help me get to the point that I got to this year, even though that we didn't have much time to work with. But I think with what we had, you know, those 3-4 months just being at the Jupiter training site and kind of just getting working, I think that I got a lot done and I think I accomplished what I wanted to, where that is, you know, my hitting, catching, mental side of the game. And I'm really excited about it to go into 2021 spring training.
On the heels of that, Will, and the disappointment of probably not being AA, single A, triple A, whatever the case may be this year, I would imagine from someone like yourself and even guys that haven't been in the big leagues, you had a choice to make this year. Like, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be mature about this, or I can take some days off. I'll go get my work in. It is what it is. What was your approach going into it? Because for some guys, man, if you don't work hard, you're really going to set yourself back in a year where it was really easy to set yourself back.
Oh, for sure. You know, kind of when we got that call to come back home, you know, everybody, you know, like take a couple weeks off, you know, do this, do that and everything. To me, it was like right when I get back home, I want to keep working out. I want to keep throwing. I want to keep hitting. I want to make sure that I'm ready for anything that happens because, you know, we were all in kind of an unknown of what was going to happen. So I think really me knowing that I had to be ready for any situation that happened and knowing that I can't treat this as, you know, time off. And then, you know, this is like another off season or something. I kind of treated it as, you know, I could be called back tomorrow. And if I'm not ready for tomorrow, then what am I doing today that will get me ready for tomorrow? So kind of having that in the back of my mind, knowing that, you know, we could just be called down for alternate training site for, you know, the big leagues, or we could be called back for, you know, an instructs, or kind of just that unknown didn't really set good with me. So to me, I was like, I need to be ready for everything. And if I'm not ready when I'm down there, then I'm going to be suffering in my development and I'm going to be suffering where I can help my team in some sort of capacity.
Were guys pushing each other in Jupiter, especially a lot of you young guys that might have been there and you're a phone call away? You know, there was so much focus on the big league season and whatever was happening and how many games are they going to play. But there was a large contingency of guys throughout baseball and minor league systems at an alternate training site. Take us kind of behind the curtain. What was going on at the alternate training site with some of you guys that, you know, you're on the cusp, your prospects in this organization?
Oh, for sure. You know, like I was saying, you know, we had big leaguers there and everything. And, you know, Miguel Rojas, he was there. And, you know, it was kind of cool to be a part of, you know, what they were doing at the big league level. And he kind of brought all of us in. And, you know, we're all, like, together in the weight room and talking. And, you know, they made it feel like we were a really big part of what they were doing at the big league level and what they were doing throughout the season. And it was kind of cool to hear stuff like that from somebody like Miggy and, you know, Garrett Cooper and, you know, Sandy Alcantara, and me catching him and being able to, like, see his game plan when he's, you know, getting ready for a game and catching him in an alternate training site. And, you know, kind of having those guys in the dugout too, kind of explaining what they do up to bat, what they do in the field, what they're thinking about all the time. It makes me, you know, excited for the future and makes me want to get better, you know, on the field and off the field, mentally and physically, just so, you know, I can get to that point one day and I can be the guy on the field, the older guy on the field, you know, that's talking to the younger kids, that is making such a big impact on them.
I know we touched on it a little bit. Even with all the work that you put in this year, did you feel like it was a lost year at all? Or do you feel like, you know what, I didn't get to play 140 games, but I feel pretty darn good. Like, I'm proud of myself. Like, I'm ready for 2021.
Oh, for sure. You know, being down there for 3 or 4 months, we got a lot of work in. And I think that probably helped me in my development more than, you know, just kind of like getting worn out. And, you know, it was kind of just a good year to, like, even though I didn't get to play all those games and get that experience of playing, you know, a full season, it was also a year that, you know, we didn't get our bodies beat up. And that's kind of like a good takeaway from it. And also takeaway, it was like 3 or 4 months that I'm hanging out with big leaguers, seeing how they do their business, being with, you know, higher level coaches and having them, you know, more eyes on me and more one-on-one time. So it's kind of, for me and my development, in my opinion, I think I got better in that aspect, in the aspect of, you know, playing in general. And like I've been saying, mentally, of just how the higher levels and how the big league players go about how they're going to get ready for a day, how they're going to play, and, you know, how they wash a bad game. And, you know, I haven't been around that before, and it was kind of cool to see that. So really now I have a different perspective on the game and on myself and how I can better myself each day.
I thought that was interesting you mentioned that, because a couple of weeks ago I got a chance to talk to one of your newest teammates, Griffin Conine, who came over from Toronto this summer. And he mentioned initially what struck him was the professionalism, the information that you guys are given, even at the alternate training site, to make you feel like big leaguers. How beneficial will that be to you moving forward? That, look, man, you're going to make a debut one day. The lights are bright. There's a lot of people. There's 3 decks on the stadium. There's not one, and there's not a cornfield behind the right field fence. I get it, right? But for sure, there's got to be something to feeling the way you feel now because of the way that you're treated.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of amazing just seeing and tasting just a little bit of what that's going to feel like, and kind of makes me and, you know, guys like Griffin and, you know, JJ and other guys in the clubhouse, you know, want to be able to strive for that and, you know, have that now. And it's cool that we got a little taste of that to kind of see what it's going to be like. And it kind of makes us want to work harder because we want to get there quicker, you know. So it kind of makes me want to, you know, do everything that I can this offseason, go on a spring training, be where I'm supposed to be at my best, and, you know, eventually make it to that point to where we are, you know, the guys that are playing for a playoff spot, that are playing in the playoffs and, you know, playing as a team and being in that clubhouse and knowing that we're playing for something bigger than, you know, minor league season. We're playing for, you know, the playoffs, we're playing for a ring and everything. So that kind of excited me in that aspect. And it kind of made me and, you know, a couple guys in the clubhouse excited that, you know, we could be coming up together. And it's cool that we're together now on this, you know, alternate training site and together in instructs, and knowing that we could be up together and, you know, knowing that is really exciting.
What was it like to watch the team clinch in New York? Because you were a part of it. Like you worked with these guys, you helped these guys, whether you know it or not, catching ball, whatever the case was, you were in a position where, you know what? If somebody called me, I'm ready to go. But what was it like to watch them clinch in New York, go to Chicago, go to Houston?
You know, it was really cool just watching them. You know, obviously we're watching on TV, but all those guys are, some of those guys have been in the locker room with us at some point throughout that, you know, 3 month span or however long it was. So it was cool to see the excitement on their faces, the excitement that they had on the field, and knowing that they were just here talking about how they're going to clinch and how, you know, they're excited. And, you know, all of us in the alternate training site knew it and saw it because everybody worked, you know, as hard as they could, even though it is a 60 game season. And there was really no like downtime. There's really no like, oh, okay, like everybody got Corona, so now we're just going to sit back and we don't really have a chance. It was like, everybody got Corona, we're coming back harder than ever. Everybody thinks that we're not going to clinch for a playoff spot, but we're going to make it known that we are going to. So it was cool to see that.
Pending everything gets back to normal to an extent, what are you most looking forward to next season, Will?
I'm just ready to play, you know, as a team against a different team that has a different jersey on, and, you know, get excited about runs, get excited about, you know, getting hits, you know, walk-off hits and everything like that. And, you know, for myself, I'm excited to be there and, you know, get my next full season in and take what I've learned in this alternate training site and instructs and take it into next season, next spring training, and then so forth, and keep learning and getting better. And, you know, knowing that I can get better each day and, you know, take it from there.
Most importantly, I remember you told me last Thanksgiving, your mom makes the best peach cobbler. Have you had any yet? It's got to be feel good to be home.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's the first thing I asked my mom when I was on the way home driving back from Florida was, hey, can we get a peach cobbler sitting on the table, please? And it was already there when I got home. So it was really cool to see that.
Now, how many of those do you take down over the course of the next 4 to 6 months?
Oh, shoot. That's tough. Hey, I'll keep a tally and I'll let you know next time. How about that?
All right. So it sounds like it's always available if you ask mom, right?
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Whenever she's got it going, I'm the first one eating it. I feel bad because I eat at least half of it and then I let my brother and sister eat. But no, it's good.
I obviously you're working hard in the offseason. You're keeping your body in shape and ready. What are you kind of doing though to keep yourself occupied? Again, I know everybody's staying safe. You're not, you know, out running on the town and stuff, but what are you doing for fun? Keep yourself occupied.
Yeah. You know, obviously working out and staying in shape, but we have a golf course over by where I live. So, you know, kind of going out there and, you know, trying to play a little golf. And, you know, even though I might not be the best at it, I just go out there and, you know, have a little fun and try to do what I can.
So some guys hate golf and for baseball. You don't mind it? It doesn't mess with your swing at all?
No, it doesn't. It actually, in my opinion, keeps me in my legs, you know, keeps me grounded. And, you know, in golf, if I pull out of my legs and I'm topping the golf ball every single time. So it kind of helps me in that aspect. But no, I mean, golf is cool. You know, get to ride the cart around, walk 20 feet over to the ball and then 20 feet back to the golf cart, and then I'm good. So it was fun.
How you hitting them? Most importantly, how you hitting them?
You know, probably half and half. I could hit half straight, half not right now.
But, so enough good ones to keep you coming back.
Yeah, 100%. If I hit a drive down the middle, then that's the one that I keep coming back every single time to play. No matter if it's one out of 18, that's all I care about.
any hole in ones?
Not yet, but I had a hole out from 120 straight into the cup without rolling in. So that was kind of exciting to see. Yeah, that was really cool.
Outstanding. So you're working out, playing a little golf, beating mom's peach cobbler. Will, man, it's good to see you. Stay healthy. Thanks for the time. I know this has been a crazy year, but as long as we can get back to normal here, man, we're all looking forward to seeing you and your development because you're pretty darn close to being a big leaguer. So thanks for the time, Will. Happy and safe holidays to you and your entire family.
No, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And happy Thanksgiving as it's coming up. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks again to Will for joining us. He has so much potential behind the plate, a defensive-minded catcher. But a lot of people, I will say this, a lot of people within the organization believe that this kid still has a ton of room to grow at the plate. Just 20 years old and another guy soon to be knocking on the door waiting to be let in down at Marlins Park. Guest number two today, well, You've heard the name. The fourth overall pick in 2019 out of Vanderbilt, the Marlins' number two prospect, the 24th ranked prospect in all of minor league baseball and big league baseball amongst 30 organizations. Here is Marlins outfielder J.J. Bleday.
J.J., it's good to see you, man, and it's good to talk to you. I know this is, I keep saying this to everybody, but it's been a crazy year. You know, I know we were looking at you last February and March and spring training games, and there was a lot of talk about you. Hey, could we see him this year? And obviously things just go crazy and you end up at the alternate training site in this and that. But let me start here. It has not just been physical, but emotionally exhausting, I think, for a lot of guys that I had an opportunity to talk to. Not saying you've let your guard down at all, but how nice is it to be home, back in your own home environment, in your own bed, just to decompress a little bit?
Oh, that's great. It's great to have a, you know, change in scenery and kind of get back to what you did, you know, throughout the quarantine, get back to your normal routine and just, you know, get ready for next year.
You had an opportunity to be a part of the alternate training site this year in a big group of guys. I chatted with your teammates, Will Banfield, and a couple of weeks ago, Griffin Conine, and everybody said the same thing. You're a phone call away. What were the stresses like? What were the emotions like on a daily basis with everything that the country was dealing with, everything that you guys were being asked to deal with, to be vigilant, but to also get your work in and be ready? Because if you get a phone call, you can be in a big league clubhouse the next day.
Yeah, no, it's it wasn't easy. You know, it's one of those things where you got to constantly get in that mindset of, hey, I got to be ready and I got to be prepared to go wherever the team needs me to be at. And I think just showing up to the field on a daily basis, you know, whether it was spring training 2.0 or the ATS camp, it was, you know, it was really disciplined to do. You know, you got to stay motivated and disciplined in your routine in order to stay ready and stay prepared, because like you said, you never know what was going to happen. Obviously, Marlins went down a little early in terms of the COVID thing early on in the season. So that caught off everybody off guard, and you can't let that guard down or else things can flip on you really quick.
I think it's interesting when you say to stay motivated, because folks that are not professional athletes, I would sit here and say, you know what, like, this stinks this year. I'm taking today off. I'll go hit off the tee for 20 minutes. I'll go take my fly balls and get a little work in, but I'm getting out of here, you know, like, because this stinks. I want to play. That would seem to me like this is an opportunity for a lot of you guys to really grow up and be like, you have a decision to make. Like, I can walk my way through this, right? Like, so how did you kind of go about that?
Well, you can't take it for granted. I mean, it's just, you got to make the most of that opportunity. Yeah. You're going to have your good days and your bad days. I mean, that's just life. That's the way baseball is too. And it's just to kind of keep it as consistent as you can in that regards, because you don't want to let too many days slip away from you when you could be using that time to get better and just open some eyes towards your staff and your coaches, because, you know, if you're showing up and working hard, and that they take that to account, and that just reflects on you as a player and what you want to do in the future for the organization.
After you were drafted last year out of Vanderbilt and a national champion, you played 38 minor league games. Now you're on the heels of a wild and crazy 2020 season. Can you clue us in? Where do you feel like you're at? You know, we've heard so much about, well, J.J. Bleday could be, you know, he's got the hitting tools and all the cliche words, and he's going to be here soon. But where do you personally feel like you're at after all this?
I feel like I'm confident enough to say that I can compete against some elite competition. And I think that's why I was happy and really excited to be offered to go down there during the ATS. And well, first off, big league spring training, right. and then obviously we got sent back home, and then big league spring training 2.0, and just being around the team and being around our guys, it just it makes you confident, makes you open your eyes and realize, hey, if you keep working hard and if you keep doing the little things, you're going to be able to compete with these guys and hopefully have a career, and just be patient with that and just hope that it's all going to turn out. So, yeah, I'd say that's where I stand right now. And in terms of, you know, where I'd be at, I really not sure. I heard talks of starting in Double A this past year, but who knows what's really going to happen this upcoming year.
I think it's interesting too, and correct me if I'm wrong, being invited to big league spring training, we've heard Don Mattingly talk about, listen, it can be a fooler, because the Sandy Alcantara of the Yankees, you can go get two hits off Garrett Cole, but he might be working on his fastball that day and he has no interest in throwing anything else. But when you go to the alternate spring training site, I don't know if you faced them, but Sandy Alcantara might seriously be working on a four-pitch repertoire. Did you use that as a measuring stick when seeing in June and July guys that were ramped up and ready to go for a big league season? Did you use that personally as a measuring stick to see where you were at?
100%. I'd say Sandy, Sixto, trying to think who else, Caleb Smith at the time when we had him, and then Urania, all those guys, literally taking as much as you can, because you know they're competing too to get back to the field and be ready. Because I remember Sandy was in a tough spot because Sandy and Urania went down, and they had to get back and be, you know, full game ready to go when they got back to the big leagues. So absolutely, yeah, really focusing in and kind of thinking through your ABs, are like, hey, what did he do to me here? How would they do this, you know, if you had that opportunity in the big leagues and you're playing on the team right now? So absolutely, you're taking all of that into account and doing your best to compete. And that's simply it. Just compete and not try and go down.
This is going to sound repetitive to people listening, because I think I've asked all of you guys this that have not been in the big leagues yet. But I think the organization's message is, we're going to treat you like big leaguers, and our expectation is that you're going to carry yourself like one. Chatting with Griffin Conine, he said it was eye-opening when he got here, the scouting reports that were put in front of you guys, even in instructs, but to make you feel like when you get this call one day, man, like, I'm going to be ready. The lights are going to be a little brighter and there's going to be people breathing down your neck, but we're going to put you in the best possible position to succeed. How have they done that, and how much confidence does that give you?
You know, really doing their homework on, hey, what kind of information do we need to give these guys in order to be ready and prepared for the game? And that's what it comes down to. It's you know, if you don't do your homework and you don't come prepared to see who's pitching that night or where you need to play in the outfield or infield, that's on you. And I think that's why it's fun to be a Marlin, is because they give you all the information you need to succeed and all the opportunity you need to succeed. And if you don't take a little bit of maturity on your end and that preparation, then that's on you. So it really shows you how to grow and be mature as a player, because, you know, it's your career and you got to make the most of it.
You are very, very early into your professional career, JJ. You just turned 23 years old, by the way. Happy belated birthday. How was the birthday? What'd you do?
It was great. I actually got a massage. Yeah. So
terrific.
Yeah, a little relaxing.
Excellent. So you're early into your professional career. I always wonder this, man. You were a star in college and you guys won the national championship. It's Vanderbilt. Professional baseball is so much different, but how much do you miss it? Like, how much do you miss being with your college buddies and hanging out and being in college? But you've accepted this portion of your career where, like, mm-hmm. your goal is to be an all-star and to be a star in Major League Baseball. But how much do you miss it?
I miss it a lot. You know, I mean, I'd say the main thing is just you're around a lot of guys in pro ball and other teams, but I mean, you don't realize how much time you spend together when you're in college. I mean, you are literally like, these guys are like your brothers. You're going to class together, you're eating together, working out. I mean, you're doing literally everything together. And to have that camaraderie and that buy-in at that type of culture, especially at Vanderbilt, you know, Corpus does a great job at getting us all ready and getting us all mature. And, you know, you miss it a lot, but at the same time, yeah, like you said, you know, you got to be ready to, take into consideration your own career and make it to the big leagues and do that. But college is great. I still keep in touch with a lot of those guys, you know, weekly, and train with them in the off season just to keep that bond going.
That's awesome. I guess the answer to some extent is probably maturity, but when you went to college, you hit 256 in 51 games your freshman year. And then it started to kind of, you elevated your game. You hit 368 and then you hit 347 your final year. I don't know if I've ever asked you, what was the turning point? Was it a conversation with yourself? Was it with a teammate that gave you a little tip on something? But what was the turning point for you to put you on the map to where, like, this kid's going to be a first round draft pick in Major League Baseball?
You know, I think it was a combination of playing as much as I could, you know, in summer ball after my freshman year, and just kind of realizing, like, hey, what do I need to do in order to become elite and become, you know, stand out from the rest of these college players? And it was after my freshman year, I was chasing the wrong thing. I was chasing hits. I was chasing, you know, good results, when it's just like, hey, let's simplify this thinking. And just, hey, let's just get a good barrel here. Let's just get my pitch to hit and go back to the dugout, being more confident and more, more excited because you executed your plan rather than execute, hey, I got to get a hit here. You know, that's just like not the way to do it. And also just get more comfortable in the box, like really trusting yourself and your work ethic and know it's going to pay off in the game because, you know, it's just getting used to that and getting used to the reps and really finding yourself and finding that confidence in your ability to go out and compete and perform.
I think having an opportunity to talk with you, JJ, just a couple of times, but you're confident, but very humble, but you trust yourself and the work you put in. Not many people experience this, but when you go to college and you start to put yourself on the map and then you see your name, it's unavoidable, right? Like he's going to be in the top 10. He's going to make X amount of dollars and X amount to sign. How do you compartmentalize that? And how do you focus on the day-to-day? Because I think that's an impossible situation for a 21-year-old kid to just be hearing all this stuff about them. And you know you're good, but how do you handle it?
That's a good question. I know it's going to sound cliche, but you gotta put it on the team. You gotta put all your effort on the team and just focus on winning games. Because when you're really invested in the team and invested into winning, it takes all the pressure off your own individual performance. So I think that was a big thing. And then just staying off social media. I know you really get tagged, like people get tagged and people get, you know, people like throw you this and that. But for me, it was just literally just staying off social media as much as I could and just really just focusing in on what I want to accomplish, which was win a national championship and then let everything else kind of map itself out. And then, you know, obviously you're going to enjoy some of your results at the end of the year. But when you're in the moment, it's just focus on the team and win ball games.
Do you still try to stay off social media and block that out as much as possible? Because I think that's also interesting. And I think there's a lot of guys that feel that way. But there's also, we live in a world where like people are creating their own brand and like you have to look out for yourself. Like, and a lot of that comes through social media. How have you attacked that?
I'd say now, like throughout, you know, this whole coronavirus and quarantine, I was probably on it a good amount, but now that I'm in my off season, it's just like, it doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't really help me out. It just takes away from, hey, I could be doing something like a lot more valuable with my time. So I'd say now I'm honestly starting to get more off social media just because you want to focus on, hey, put more weight on, get faster, take more reps in the cage, along the lines of that. But I'm not like absolutely taking everything out, you know, you still want to enjoy yourself and see like what your friends are doing, what's going on. But yeah, I'd say I'm definitely cutting down on the time that I would be using it.
When you had an opportunity to play with big league ball players this year and you're darn close, you can hit, you can run, you can throw. What's the biggest point of emphasis for you now this offseason? You mentioned weight and getting stronger. Is that like the direction you see the game headed and certainly something that you want to make sure you stay on that right path?
Yeah. I mean, personally, I want to be able to, you know, get a little bit bigger but keep my speed and maybe even get a little bit faster, but just be able to take a beating throughout a season. Cause you don't want to be, you know, too skinny or too, not strong enough to where you start breaking down in, you know, the middle of the season. I think it's just mainly maintaining that and keeping that weight to where you start losing weight throughout a season. It happens to everyone. You're going to lose weight. It just happens with travel and your diet. So being able to lose weight but still be at a comfortable enough weight to go out and perform and you know, be at your best. So yeah, I'd say gain a little bit of weight this offseason, nothing crazy, and just be more consistent in my routine, really hone it down to where when I get to spring training, you know, I want to be you know, blazing, ready to go.
When you're at the alternate training site, I know the expectation was, hey, we're coming and we're working every day, but then you guys need to go home. You got to be safe because you got to be ready to go tomorrow. Are you a student of the game? Are you watching the games every night, taking notes, trying to get better even from watching? I know some guys are different, but I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'd say I watched the majority of all the games. Yeah. There were some where, you know, you were out doing something and kind of, you know, going out to dinner or whatever. But yeah, I'd say, watching as much as I could. One, because you know you're with the guys at the ATS camp and you see guys like Jesus, Sixto, Trevor Rogers, who was my roommate actually. We got an apartment together. And then he gets called, those guys get called up. It's like you're supporting them and you want to see how they do because you literally just spent two, three months with them and you kind of you know, want to see what, you know, the amount of work they put in because they all worked hard and you want to see it pay off. And it's kind of fun to see that. And then it's kind of fun to see the whole organization turn around as a whole. So yeah, you're definitely watching games and you're definitely picking up ticks, whether it's guys are making mistakes or guys are doing really good things. It's kind of it's kind of cool to judge and then reflect it to your game and see where you're at in relation to that.
A lot of guys that you've obviously now gotten to know made their big league debuts this year, an mm-hmm. unprecedented number of guys. What were the conversations like with those guys? I know so often someone in your shoes, you're so proud of them and to see them and knowing, you know what, I'm going to get there. You can't be selfish about it. You know, it's, I'm going to be there, but how happy were you for those guys? And what were some of those conversations like? What kind of questions do you have for them?
I mean, we're all extremely happy. I mean, like guys like Jordan Holloway, Braxton Garrett, I mean, all those guys, especially the ones you spend a good amount of time with, whether you're eating or in the weight room. And it's just, you know, like, hey, what were you feeling?
Right.
You know, how different was it? You know, were you nervous? I mean, just kind of like your basic questions. And the majority of them just say, man, it's the same game. You know, don't let it speed up on you. And just, you know, really take into account, you know, what the other guys are doing and how they're getting ready and just going out and kind of, you know, having fun, you know, just be a kid again.
What's been the biggest change in professional baseball? Because when you play at an elite level in the SEC and you see guys that went in the first round, second round, third round, throwing 96, 97, good breaking ball, what's been the biggest change for you? Or have you not felt a huge change in that regard?
I'd say the biggest change is seeing more velo on a daily basis. So I'd say you see a good amount of velo in the SEC, nothing like you would though. And pro ball in terms of like high A, double A, well, high A and on up, I assume, because, you know, the guys that you got to see in spring training, you know, they're all throwing, all the big leaguers are throwing, you know, like mid-90s, mid to upper 90s. So it's really just trying to get used to seeing that, because eventually you're going to try and get used to it. You're going to figure out your timing mechanisms, and that will become your everyday norm. So I'd say that was the biggest adjustment is getting used to the high velo.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because I have no idea, but I've heard from guys that one of the biggest changes is you might see a kid throw a 95, 96 in college, but it might be straight as an arrow. When mm-hmm. you get to professional baseball, guys will grip it a little different and they'll put a little movement on it. And that's when they can make you look silly. Is that a part of it too?
Yeah, it's now we have, like you were saying earlier, we have so many like charts and everything to see how a guy's ball moves, which way it tails, you know, like what's the normal. So yeah, if it's like moving, you know, three inches and dipping and sinking, I mean, you got to really hone in on a specific zone. And I mean, that's when like your maturity comes out in the box, because I mean, that's just like, it just really helps you become more advanced as a hitter. And yeah, absolutely. You got to take all that into account. It makes it more of a challenge, which is great.
I know a lot of guys, they'll strike out, they'll get back to the bench, they'll think about it, they'll go up there, they'll tinker all night long until they get themselves a hit. Do you try to prepare before, trust yourself, and go out there and see what happens? Are you thinking during the game? Are you trying to make little adjustments here and there?
I'd say I'm doing all my preparation beforehand and just going in and competing in the game. Now, there's going to be some IBs that get away from you. Right. But yeah, you're making in-game adjustments every single time. I wouldn't say mechanical. It'd be right. more approach oriented. Like, hey, I'm taking too many strikes here, and I got to start, you know, hunting that zone because I'm good at that zone. And I'd say that's the main thing is really honing in on your count and not, or on your zone and not missing it.
What are you most looking forward to in 2021, pending we get back to normal in some capacity and there are minor league seasons and you can play 140, 150 games, potentially be in the big leagues? What are you most looking forward to over the course of these next 3 to 4 months leading into a spring training?
Yeah, I'd say this offseason, I'm just looking forward to getting better and getting stronger and really see myself develop to get ready for this upcoming season, 2021. And honestly, just play. I'm just excited to play. And I mean, you can prepare, you can take BP, you can do everything all you want. But when it comes down to it, you got to just go on performing the games. And I think I'm just excited to go play a full season and just be ready to contribute wherever I'm at.
I might be wrong. When I talked to you before, you're a golfer, right? How's the golf game coming along?
It's actually gotten a lot better. I put down the bat for a couple of weeks, and my golf swing's gotten a lot better. My game's gotten a lot better. I still got to. My drive has been a little inconsistent, but short game's coming around, which I'm excited about.
Well, you can pick up some strokes in the short game. Are you a Masters guy? You watching? Are you tuned in this weekend?
I am. I'm a big Masters guy. I got a Bryson and a Spieth showdown. I think I'm going to go with DeChambeau at the Masters.
Do you hit it like 200 miles an hour and 385 yards?
God, I wish, man. I wish. I probably wouldn't be playing baseball. I'd probably be on, try to be on tour.
Yeah, I think we all would. Okay, so Thanksgiving's coming up. Favorite dish? Are you in the kitchen helping all day? You watching football? What's the deal?
Doing a little bit of both. I'd say I'm more kind of, you know, help here and there, you know, set the table, you know, get some things in the oven. But I'd say my go-to dish is green bean casserole with the with those onion things on top. That's probably my favorite, with a little bit of turkey and all that. But yeah, that's pretty much it, man.
Is that the one day you let it get away from you and you're back in the weight room the next day?
Oh yeah. I'm eating as much as I can Thanksgiving and probably the day after.
Well, JJ, happy early Thanksgiving. Best wishes to you and your entire family. Most importantly, stay safe. I know this has been a crazy year, but best to you and your entire family. Stay safe, and we can't wait and look forward to seeing you in spring training in 2021. Thanks for the time, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. See you in February.
Okay, thank you again to JJ. It's going to be so much fun to watch this young man play. He really is, and I don't think this is an exaggeration, a five-tool type of player given his ability on the field, speed, strength, the power, offensive, defensive. He is just so darn good. And he really is, and we talk about this a lot, he's another piece you throw into this mix of highly talented prospects and ball players that are going to put this organization in playoff contention and position for years to come. That's all the time we have on this episode of Beyond the Bases, but stay tuned all offseason long. We'll be with you every other Thursday, and we'll keep you up to date on everything that's taking place. Take care, everybody, and stay safe.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.